Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
You go busting your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you. You know how hard it is. No doubt. Being a woman, a black woman at that, in this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we be ride hard now since we don't be knowing the pain we be causing.
This white man's world.
This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all this. I'm just saying
this white man's world.
This song, yeah. For all those times that I messed up or we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews pissing. They say don't let this cool world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's wicked. Cap off the bottom, I take a sip and be tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Reading love letters late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls, so sorry. Inside this cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons.
white man's world.
And all I heard was,
only thing they ever did wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Born black. White man's world.
All my ghetto motherfuckers are proud to be black. Black and be proud to have this shit like this.
Born black.
Nobody got a
white man's world.
All these motherfuckers wanna be like us. They all wanna be like us.
Yeah.
Be the hell or not. All in.
Get
our blessings shattered. Go on his own. No motherfucking doubt.
Being born with less, I must confess. Only adds on to the stress. Two gunshots to my homie's head. Died in his vest. Shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I pass his casket, gently ask him, is there heaven for G? My homeboy's doing life. Baby mama be stressing. Shedding tears when her son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying? Heard you late night to my bedroom door. Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. And still ducking in his jail cell, missing my block. Hearing brothers screaming all night, wishing they stop. Proud to be black, but why we act like we don't love ourselves? So look around, just suck, check yourself. Knowing what it means to be black, whether a man or girl, we still struggling. And it's white man's world.
It's white man's world.
We must fight for brother Lamar. We must fight for brother Lamar.
Tell me why you changed, choose a new direction, and I'm thinking about my time away just made perfect. Cause I think I die, not gonna cry, why should I care? Like we holding on the lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me, please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven, ain't no G's in hell. Sister, sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I'll change if you help me, but don't fall apart. Rest in peace to Lil Tasha, Lil Yummy and Kato. Too much for this cold world to take, ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, bear with me, can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to cause drama to my sister and mama. Hope we make it to a better time in this white man's world.
You're out of touch with reality. A few of you in a few smoke-filled rooms calling that the mainstream, while the masses of the people, white and black, red, yellow, and brown, poor and vulnerable, are suffering in this nation. Never that.
And white man.
It was the question many of President Bush's critics had been waiting to hear for weeks.
On Iraq, the so-called Downing Street memo from July 2002 says intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy of removing Saddam through military action.
The memo says that the head of British intelligence told the British government that President Bush saw a war against Saddam as inevitable and that intelligence in Washington was, quote, being fixed around the policy.
We now have the so-called smoking gun memo from British officials, written in the summer of 2002, detailing the ways in which the Bush administration was planning to manipulate intelligence to create a culture of fear around weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to justify a war.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
Sullen, a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said.
fantasy. I don't believe Bob Marley got the cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. Computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, it's God made man. And why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership. Flipping position, they turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Point your TV screen, telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs, claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? Big corporations, the pigs or the media. Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found? It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics. But it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray to me. Take my pain to me.
back. I need some get back.
During Reconstruction, we held every major position you can imagine. From the 41st Congress to the 56th Congress, we were involved in every one of the congressional systems or the congressional process from that 41st to the 56th. We were mayors. We were judges. We were sheriffs. We were senators. We were congressmen. And even B.K. Bruce of the Treasury Department, a black man, had his signature on all paper money in the United States of America. So it made no difference that a redneck camel breath, snuff-dipping, tobacco-chewing, straw-chewing, beer-belly, overall-wearing, peckerwood, hated niggas, every cracker in order to buy anything had to spend money with a black man's signature during Reconstruction on the paper money. But when white folks got tired of niggas being in political positions of authority over them, they lined up armed white men at the door of Congress. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner of the AME Church, armed guards stood at the door of Congress and would not permit Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, a black elected public official and a congressman, to enter the halls of Congress. They stood at the door of the mayor's office. They lined armed guards up at the sheriff's office, a black sheriff elected to be the sheriff of the town. But crackers stood at the door with their guns and said, no more nigger sheriffs in this town. And brought another big beer-bellied peckerwood with overalls on, who was the new sheriff, Big Bubba. And they said, nigger, Big Bubba's the sheriff here in town now. No more nigger sheriff. And if you don't get away from here, we're going to arrest you. Judges were unseated.
That's right.
Senators were unseated, and night riders, Ku Klux Klan, and disgruntled, angry, egotistical white men decided that it was a period that had to be stopped, that blacks were infringing on the rights of white people. Does it sound familiar? They're talking about the angry white male today, and under charges of exaggerated corruption, exaggerated corruption in politics, the poor black man was swept from political positions. It looked like a period of political prosperity. But when the white man got tired of black people being in these political positions, he drove us from these political positions. But you're running all over the place, ready to vote. Some of you with your dreadlocks, you're ready to vote. Some of you with an African name as long as North Avenue, you're ready to vote. Trying to decide which cracker you're going to vote for. And it's not even the popular vote that determines who the president is going to be. It's the Electoral College vote that determines who the president is going to be. If you're going to go behind a glorified shower curtain pulling a lever, trying to decide which one of these peckerwoods you're going to vote for. It's impossible to defend black law and not break white law. Impossible to defend white law and not break black law. The two are diametrically opposed, 180 degrees different from each other. You cannot seek freedom and independence for black people and talk integration talk with white folks. You cannot talk out of both sides of your mouth. It's impossible to do that. You cannot say we must get away from the color game and the skin game when you are black and your color and your melanin is what marks you and hooks you with the universe and links you with the spiritual, divine, universal, and cosmological order of things. You cannot say we must get away from that and say that you are defending divine law and defending black law.
Situation within, you know, when you start to...
If we say that the patterns of behavior that the individual learns in coping with the environment, then we can infer from that then that the kind of environment the individual inhabits will influence the kind and patterns of behavior he will evidence as a person. An individual then who is seeking for power, who then wants to create people so that they would have a definite relationship to him, will say then that the first thing I must control is what? The environment. I must create an environment, because the individual, if he's to survive in that environment, must learn to cope with it. And if it's a tough environment, he must learn to be tough if he's going to make it. If it's an environment that requires him to hustle, then he's got to learn how to hustle. And he's got to learn how to... And yet, after he learns all of these things, they're going to become a part of his personality. And in ways they're going to help him, and in ways they're going to stand against him. And therefore, if I create the environment, I can, to a good extent, create the individual. And therefore, the people in power will read the statement, and they will go back to their planning boards and say, how can I create the environment such that black people will be dumb? They will be ignorant. They will hate themselves. They will lack disunity in their relationships one with the other. They will see me as the final validator of truth. They will see my acceptance as the ultimate acceptance. How can I create in them that mentality? And you will see them then creating the appropriate environment. The invasion of this community by Asians and other ethnic groups is a part of the creation of the mentality and personality of black people. It's going to create your children out here. As they walk down these blocks, their personality is being formed as they learn to so-called cope and deal with this situation out here. And to the extent that we sit back and let it happen, to that extent, we're participating also in their creation. It goes on to say, for social learning theorists, behavior is the result of a continuous interaction between personal and environmental variables. Environmental conditions shape behavior through learning. A person's behavior, in turn, shapes the environment. There's a reciprocal relationship. We create the environment, and we create a behavior. Orientation. And then the person with the behavioral orientation, what? Recreates his environment. You put him in a slum, and then he develops slummy behavior. And then once he develops slummy behavior, he will make slums wherever he goes. And then we will say that he's a slummy person by nature. You know, that's the game. Create that environment. So it's to create a personality. And you see, it's a slick game. And often you see, as people, we are not aware of the first creation. How was the first creation brought about? The only thing we often see is the result of the creation. And we see ourselves behaving in a certain sort of way. And the other group then says, you behave that way because you're black. You behave that way because you're African. You see? And when you fail then to see how the situation was created, then one begins to condemn himself in terms just of himself. And this is why knowledge of how the situation was created is very, very important. This is why ultimately when one gets to know himself, he gets to know other people. You cannot know yourself well and not know other people and ultimately know the universe. The route to getting to know the universe and to getting to know what is going on in the world is through the self, ladies and gentlemen. Because, as I stated before, the self is the result of the universe we live in. And therefore, self-knowledge means getting to know self-creation. And when other people have created the self that one is, then it means getting to know those other people and getting to know how they went about their creation. And that's very important to the recreation of oneself in terms of one's own criteria and one's own values. But unless you get that, and this, you see, is an essential part of African education. The white people don't have to learn this. They don't need to learn this. So therefore, they do not include this knowledge into their curriculum. They do not see it as an important part of education. And a black person then who does not include this as an important part of their education is going to be educated into ignorance and stupidity. And a black person who sees this kind of education as a stop course as a, what do you call them, elective. Of course, you pick up on the side is one that's going to be miseducated. This is the very foundation and basis of any sound education and should occur first, not second, not in the third year of college, not in the last year of college, but should occur in the very first semester, should occur really in the very first years of elementary school and work themselves right on up. And so we have it here. The environmental conditions shape behavior through learning. A person's behavior in turn shapes the environment. Persons and situations influence each other reciprocally. To predict behavior, we need to know how the characteristics of the individual interact with the characteristics of the situation. Now, I've often told people the point of psychology, European psychology, is control. You know, a lot of people talk about psychology not being so-called science and not being able to predict behavior the way chemistry and mathematics. That's off the point. That's really not the point of it at all. Because the point of psychology in the Eurocentric sense is not really to describe man as he is, but to learn the ways and means of controlling man to the benefit of the European. That's the basic point. And when you can create people, when you can control people, then your problem of prediction is what? It's solved, ladies and gentlemen. It's solved. You see? So when you remove people, you remove certain thinking skills from people, when you induce into them certain emotional orientations, when you keep away from them certain intelligence in terms of knowledge, you're creating a personality, and you can begin to predict how those people are most likely to behave under certain circumstances. You know what they are, what capable of doing. You see? And therefore, as a Eurocentric psychologist, what you're mainly concerned with is not so much predicting the behavior, but creating the possibilities of some behaviors and the impossibilities of others. And so the main thing you're concerned with is the technique by which this is accomplished, because the prediction part will pretty much take care of itself. And so we have it right here. To predict, we need to know how the characteristics of an individual interact with the characteristics of the situation. You have to interpret this afrocentrically, you see. Now, many courses will read it and run it through just like that and leave it at that. But see, the white boy, that's all he needs. He doesn't need the other part, the part that I've just talked to you about right now. Because, you see, while he's in the college, his dad is and others already manipulated the world. You see, and when he gets out, he will enter into that system and learn the real information. But the black one who will learn it as well or better will still be in a position of powerlessness, you see, because often he has not read between the lines, and often because he's discriminated against, he will not get into the very center of power where he can see the real deal. And so he'll be left with his theoretical propositions, and he'll be proud of his unrealistic learning. And he will talk about it and think that his degree, because it is equal to some white man's degree, that it has equal potency. And it does not. It has very little meaning. In fact, that is a part of the deception as well. It goes on to say, reinforcement and social learning. The effect of other people, the rewards and punishments they provide, is an important influence on an individual's behavior. Very potent statement there, isn't it? In fact, that is a power statement, isn't it? Yeah, it's a power statement. Infused throughout this whole thing is, how do you gain power and influence over other people? How do you manipulate other people? This is a manual about power. Of course, it isn't written that way, is it? It's pure, bland, objective, non-racial psychology. Nonsense. There is no course that's non-political. That is the greatest deception run upon black people. Their courses are non-political. That is the most political statement of all. Well, this is an objective course. It has nothing to do with race. Then I'm in the wrong course. According to social learning theory, individual differences in behavior result in large part from differences in the kinds of experiences encountered, listen, in the course of growing up. Do we hear that? Very powerful statement here. But it says individual differences, and when I use the word individual, think of group. This is another deception that is run on black people, particularly in psychology. Because often the psychology is projected as being about individuals. You see, and often the black student then thinks in terms of individuals and consequently is restricted in what he learns. When you're in these courses and they talk about individual, elevate them up to the group level. You see, because it's to the advantage of the white man in a sense while he's educating you at the same time to lower your consciousness to talk about individuals, see, so that you can think that we're just concerned with single entities and not with what? Peoples and the relationships of people one to the other. And if you don't deliberately and consciously say, wait a minute, let me think about this in terms of groups, then you're caught and miseducated right at that point, even though you know the principle well. It says individual differences, but let's substitute the word group. Group differences in behavior result in large part from differences in the kinds of learning experiences encountered in the course of growing up. In other words, then, the differences in groups, to a good extent, is the result of the kind of learning experiences they have encountered. So, if you want to create group differences, what do you create? You create differences in their what? Learning experiences. That is why the European, in order to create the African man, must also restrict the African experience, must restrict the kinds of experiences you have. Because an experience is not just an emotional kind of situation, it is a learning situation. An experience becomes often a permanent part of the personality. So you must see experience as learning, okay, not just an emotional effect, but as a learning. When you're in a classroom, you are having an experience. We call that experience learning, but nevertheless, it's an experience. Any kind of experience can be a learning situation. So consequently, if the European is to produce group differences in behavior, he then must have control over the experiences people undergo. And therefore, when they experience poor housing, when they experience poor food, non-nutritional food, when they experience poor schooling, when they experience adverse economic circumstances, when they experience the degradation and scandalization of their character, when they experience the kinds of things we talk about here daily in this community, then you're going to get a difference in group behavior. And you will see then that this experience is deliberately designed to create a deliberate personality in black people. Some of you heard me talk about the rat, and this social learning theory is based on what we call rat psychology. And it's very interesting, by the way, why in these psych books you have talk about rats and dogs. Because often the unaware African thinks that that's what the whole deal is about, rats and dogs. Another consciousness-controlling tool. And as soon as you mention conditioning, somebody will jump up, oh, the Pavlovian dog. You know, they're going to immediately show you how smart they are in terms of the Pavlovian dog. You see? And how smart they are about the rat and you know, the skin of ox. But if you talk to them for a whole night, they never quite get around to how it is that we are the Pavlovian dog. And that we are the rats. We never see that part. And yet, look at it, ladies and gentlemen. When we talk about the so-called Skinner rat, it's a rat taken out of its natural habitat, placed in a box. It is placed in a condition, a new set of conditions, a new environment. It's going to have experiences in that box it has never had before in its life. It must learn to survive in that box and cope with that box. It must learn to push that lever in order to eat. It has never had to do that before. Never. But it's got to learn. It's got to learn that when the yellow light comes on, it can push the lever and get food. But when the green one comes on, no food is coming. It has to learn that it can get food every time it pushes the lever, or it gets food every fifth time it pushes the lever, or the 15th time it pushes the lever, or it gets food every 5 minutes, and you can just manipulate its behavior around and around and around. The experimenter says, okay, you're not going to get eaten until you hit the bar 5 times, 15 times. And sometimes you can see the rat even learns that, you know. It just doesn't hit the food sometimes steadily. You may hit it fast 15 times. Or the experimenter says, I'm going to feed you every 5 minutes regardless of how many times you hit the bar. And that rat will get a sense of time. Toward the end of that 5 minutes, it'll start hitting the bar. And you can manipulate and change its behavior in terms of how you're going to reward it and how you're going to punish it. It knows something now, and it behaves now in a way that no other rat behaves. It has learned something new. Why? Because it has been placed under a set of conditions. It has learned to adjust to those conditions and to cope with those conditions. If it went back to its natural habitat, it would be a strange rat, I'm telling you. And we know sometimes how so-called tamed animals, as a result of their social interaction with human beings, are unable to even survive in their natural environment because of the way they had to survive in their natural environment. And so what we recognize in the Skinner experiment is this, that the rat not only lives in a condition and in an environment, the environment and the condition does what? Lives in the rat. And the rat is an expression of its environment. As a matter of fact, the environment and conditions speak through the rat and literally uses its body to express itself. And this is why often we can hear some people talk, the way they dress, the way they walk, and tell where they're from. Because we not only live in a neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen, the neighborhood does what? Lives in us. It expresses itself through us. We are its vehicle. It comes out through us. So consequently, when another people shape your neighborhood and they shape your schools and they shape the experiences you have, they are in the process then of creating us as human beings. We have to recognize that. This is why the black student has to look at the rat not as a rat, but as a prototype of himself. And if he does not see that rat that way, he's been miseducated. I don't care how many A's he makes equal to the white boy, he's been miseducated. And yet the white man has sat right there and told him exactly how he's doing. Exactly. No bones about it. And I often tell my students then, look at this rat and this experimenter, not from the point of view of the way it's written in the book. So consequently, when another people shape your neighborhood and they shape your schools and they shape the experiences you have, they are in the process then of creating us as human beings. We have to recognize that. This is why the black student has to look at the rat not as a rat, but as a prototype of himself. And if he does not see that rat that way, he's been miseducated. I don't care how many A's he makes equal to the white boy, he's been miseducated. And yet the white man has sat right there and told him exactly how he's doing it. Exactly. No bones about it. And I often tell my students, look at this rat and this experimenter.
Black power, black power, black power family. You're live here now on New Black Panther Party Radio, or the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Visit our national website, NBPP.org, to join the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad, you are live tonight with the Chief of Staff, Brother Katib Sadiq, Black Power Family, Black Love. You tuned in here to day 427, New Black Panther Party Radio, The People versus the State, as we discuss putting power in the hearts and minds of the people. This is why power is. But we must continue to force that power and push that power until we solidify our black nation here on New Black Panther Party Radio. We are interrupting your daily broadcast of live 24 hours a day. It's the people versus the state right here on New Black Panther Party Radio. As we continue this broadcast, we open up this broadcast with our great ancestors, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and Dr. Amos Wilson, as Amos Wilson talked about the personality of black people. And we will hear the rest of that information tonight before the end of this broadcast. We want to make sure that the people understand this is the people's broadcast, a platform for the people. Press the number one, and we want to hear your thoughts on power in the hearts and minds of the people, your thoughts on the people versus the state. But we live in a day today, and as it has been since this tragic event, as we're experiencing and as we wrap our arms around and love our family, our National Field Marshal, Brother Sharif Amenhotep, losing his daughter to the senseless murder, her senseless murder in South Carolina. We continue to ask comrades to send financial support to our comrade and the family of young Sanaa Amenhotep. You can send it through Cash App to Brother Sharif Cash App directly, $ Sharif Amenhotep, $ SHARIFAMENHOTEP. If you have it, do send it, comrades. Black Power. As we have been broadcasting for the last 426 days, we have made known well the truth of the coronavirus, the truth of the police murders and police brutality and the escalation of warfare targeted at our poor black people here in this nation. We have bridged, we have begun to continue in many ways the work of PAD in bridging the gap between the continent of Africa and the Africans here in America, so we may understand that we are one people and our goals must be the same as we face the same common enemy. But we cannot even begin to speak about power unless we understand what is power. What is the applications? What are the applications of power? We have to talk about the force of power and the forcing of power and the strength behind power. We have to talk about the psychic violence, the mental violence, a mental genocide that is on the minds of our people. We must talk about the influence that is used to influence our people to go out of their mind as we live in such tragic, trying times in lowly everyday conditions. And then we must talk about manipulation and how manipulation is used when it relates to power, when it relates to the applications of power, as we talk about power in the hearts and minds of the people. This is very important. So we have to answer the question, family, what is power? What is power to us? And as we have learned from many of our great ancestors, to begin to define the terms that identify our condition, we learn and we read and we focus on the scientific facts of our nature, being that revolution is scientific. We must examine what is power, family. Power comes with being with and interacting with existence, with being alive, and it is the essence of life and the motive force of growth and development, and it is how we adapt. So not only does power come with the interacting with our existence and the changing of our being every day and the different phases and states of change, but it also comes with being alive. We must understand the power. We must understand force, but we must understand what is power. And we learned that it is the existence of life and the motive force of growth and development. It is our way, the way that we adapt to living and the living conditions, things that are in our living condition. Therefore, it is the adaptability of living things to the environment, changes of the environment, and the demand for those changes. We learn that power refers to the ability to do, the ability to be, the ability to defeat, the ability to prevail, the ability to move, the ability to act. This is power, family. We learn that power is beingness and aliveness again, and it originates with power. But we must also understand on one end what it means to be powerful, and we must understand on the other end of that scale what it means to be powerless. So we understand then that powerful is controlling life, controlling our existence, having complete control in the conditions of change and making the demand of change when it is necessary, when it is in relation to our living condition, family. Then, brothers and sisters, we must understand what it means then to be powerless. To be powerless is to be willless. It's to be to have lacking will, lacking heart, because we understand the power and the ability to exert power and the ability to adapt to the changes of power is in the heart of man. We understand then to be powerless is to have no will. It is to be impotent and lifeless in the physical, without effect or influence, to be nothing of no account. We understand powerful, full of power, full of motive, full of ambition, full of drive, full of occupation, and always trying to create. Therefore, then we only have to look at the opposite end of that scale in the great meiotic law of balance. And then we must understand, family, that powerless means to be without such ability, not without, but not exercising such ability to conduct change, to lay down the foundations that demand change, and to even move. And in many forms, being powerless will remove us from our mind, understanding that power originates in the heart. And it is that great African throughout history with the great heart that has produced great minds. Those great minds in their physical bodies have produced great results, have produced great responses in the battle for liberation of a black nation that we can call our own. You're listening to New Black Panther Party Radio live here, New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Visit our national website, nbpp.org. Brother Katib Sadiq, National Chief of Staff. We welcome everybody to this broadcast here on day 427, The People versus the State. We are discussing tonight power in the hearts and minds of the people. Power, when it relates to our existence, as we command and demand the changes that must come about for us to have a renewed self, a restored self in our own black nation. We must then understand that power is forced, whether power is forced by the powerful onto the powerless, or whether there is force used from the powerful to rob the powerless. And it doesn't even matter if the powerless began to develop some kind of force to make themselves powerful. There is no power without that power being forced, without that power being enacted and put onto a certain situation. But in this case, as we discuss politically, a people, and those people are us as we continue to battle the state. Power as force involves the exercise of biological and physical means to prevent another person or group from doing what he or it prefers to do, or to get something to happen to that person or groups of people that he or it would prefer it not to do. So what are we saying? We're then saying that force, when we look at power, we must understand that no power is in existence without force. For the very power of being that we live under today, we are living under this power, under the power of the Almighty, wise God Creator, because of the force of the original frequency of creation. This then proves that everything on down from that great source of master creation then comes down to force. How is force applied to power? Again, we say that power involves the exercise of biological and physical means to prevent someone from doing something. So in the case of our condition, in the case when it relates to the struggle for freedom and independence, we have had power forced on us in many different ways through many different devices of ethnic cleansing and genocide. We understand then that force have to be used as a necessary action To take back power, then force must be used as a necessary action to induce power. Therefore, we find on both scales, again, on that great maiotic law of balance, on both sides of that scale, to produce any kind of balance, any kind of common settle, then there must be an understanding of the powerless on how to develop power, force to get their power back, making them the powerful. That we naturally are the most powerful. But again, we have been forced into these conditions. When we look at force as it relates to power, the force utilized may involve the infliction of bodily pain or injury, including the destruction of life itself and the frustration of basic biological needs. Therefore, this represents the type of force that we have been introduced to, forcefully introduced to. We have had biological and physical means used on us to prevent us from developing a framework of power. Therefore, we say black power, we must then define these terms. We must develop in the framework of those terms and defend what is built in that framework of force. And that force must represent, defend, define, and develop black power family. We're talking about the power in the hearts and minds of our beautiful black people. We are constantly frustrated because our basic biological needs, as we mentioned before, are not being met. We're finding ourselves asking the same state that accosts and oppress us for work and employment. We find ourselves asking and trying to beg for the same state who have accosted and oppressed us for all of the social needs and biological necessities that we need to get through our lives. We find ourselves even going to the same who miseducated us for education. So what we then must understand, family, as we teach, as we know, as we practice, is that power in relation to force is very clear. For there to be power, we must force ourselves to remove ourselves from these force conditions. We must understand how force is used. We must then understand that it may involve the construction of human and physical obstacles to constrain or restrict the freedom and range of movement of another person or groups. In this case, we speak of us, and how there have been many physical obstacles, many obstacles, constraints, physical obstacles and physical constraints. There are now economic and have always been economic constraints. There are social constraints that pushes us in many times with our backs up against the wall. As we buy for a position, as we fight for position to try to align ourselves and compete in a social economic society that was set up, in fact, to destroy, that was not set up to force any power our way on the scale. Therefore, we must tip the balance of the scale with understanding and activating our force, which relies and originates in the very power within our hearts that have balanced and that have created all the nations of the earth and balanced them, and we didn't have all this mess that we have here today. We say again to all of our listeners, press the number one. We want to hear what you have to say when we talk about the people versus the state. When we talk about power in the hearts and minds of our people, what does that mean to you? What does that mean? And even more so, how do we look at this? How do we begin to develop such a power, such a force, that we can begin to change our very living conditions, that we begin to lay out the demands and complete these demands, have these demands met for the sake of the salvation of our black nation? Here on New Black Panther Party Radio, we got to tell it straight. We have to give the proper propaganda. We have to give the political education that powers the mind and forces the mind into power. Therefore, we respond, not react, but we respond revolutionary to the situations, conditions, and crimes against humanity committed against the Africans in the African diaspora. We must look at this, family, brothers and sisters. We look at power and understanding power, understanding political education, understanding what it is that drives us into this condition and what it is that will get us out of this condition, we must look at the mental genocide, the mental side. We must look at the psychic violence that is used against us and our people that have been used and how we can counteract and respond to it in such a way that we rid ourselves of this and we respond in our natural African sanity, in our natural African-centered mind, the most powerful obstacle against the liberation of our people from white domination and exploitation is not the ability of whites to use superior military. For if that was the fact, he would be the most dominant nation on the earth, and he is not. It is not the ability then of police firepower. These two things only represent threats. These two things represent two of the most divisive devices of ethnic cleansing and genocide. One represents the military and one represents the local military. Both act in conditions, both act in means of murder to bring on conditions of so-called white supremacy. It is not those. In fact, it is their ability, the state, to engage threat, to engage in threat and to use threat against our own. There is an insurgency on the African. It is their ability in engaging in the underlying psychological, psychopolitical violence against the collective African mind. It is the white monopoly of on menticide and their devastatingly ingenious use of it against the minds of our people, which represent the greatest threat to African survival. Wrong insightfully points out the nature of this form of violence because it is hard then to recognize it when it resides in our mind. It is hard to see it when it is in our mind. When we look at ourselves in the mirror and we hate what we see back. When we are told that we have no value, we have no place, we have built nothing and created nothing, this is a form of psychic violence. To be taught of religions of old that have proven to be psychological murderers and enslavers of black people, this is a form of psychic violence. We must recognize these mental attacks so that we can start young in teaching the young on how to avoid. We must put them in the mentality of an African-centered education that teaches the true nature of this devilish and decadent American society. The only way that we stop the psychic violence is to reach and keep the minds of the next generation. And as they grow up, we find them battling against the physical, battling against the psychic, battling against the spiritual violence, again, that is brought on to our people. There is no way, in fact, to have us, the people, going against the state and to have the people who have so much potential be viewed as so foolish. This is only possible through a criminal enterprise. This is only possible through criminalizing the victim. This is only possible through coercion, subversion, and all types of sick, perverted behaviors by those who operate this state, our open enemy, the goddamn white man. Instruments used of force or the threatened use of force by the power holder, and in this case, we speak of America. We have not given this state any power. It is only power that they have taken through force, and we must understand the relationship between force and power and how to use both on the scales of livelihood. We are unbalanced in a nation that is so unbalanced, in a nation that is so corrupt. Therefore, this criminal enterprise uses coercion to put us into these conditions. Coercion is the instrument use of force or the threatened use of force by the state to attain the compliance of us. It is often referred to as what we say, coercion. Coercion is therefore a form of power. It is of the utmost importance to note, as we and many of our great teachers have noted. A coercer may succeed without possessing either the capability or the intention of using force, so long as the power subject believes he possesses both. We must then, in our minds, many of us, not all of us, we can only idealize that we must, in many cases, proven by our actions and reactions, believe that our enemy have power and force. But if we were to take a step back or even a step in for some of us, and we look and analyze the scope through strategic analysis, what we will find is that the force that America have once used have been reduced down to a measly, silly propaganda system that is built on the ignorance of those who choose to be ignorant, of those who choose to be foolish. And the greatest threat is the power that America once had. They are trying to get it back, and they are not willing to let it go without a struggle. So they are struggling with themselves, struggling with other nations who they are in debt to, but they are in debt to no nation, more in debt to a nation that they are than they are to us. This is why they laugh at our status as a nation when we fool around about if we are, if we are not. Because it is the declaration of that nation that pushes forward the demand for reparations, because reparations must be given to a nation in whole. So we must think deeper than what the surface level reveals to us. We must look at coercion as a tool of power that is used against the African to get us to do things we would not do had that coercion not been around. We look at how somebody who is coercing, like this state is, that it is the coercive power of the state that may rest significantly less or not at all on their actual capacity to harm the subject. So what we're saying then is that America doesn't have any force that is so powerful that it would keep us in the position. It is in fact 500 years of coercion that have many of us, too many of us, believing that America possesses these types of powers and forces. So many times we subjugate ourselves without a fight. This is what we mean. This is what we mean by us seeing the effects of ethnic cleansing and genocide, seeing the effects of the different applications of force when it relates to power. You're listening to New Black Panther Party Radio for Self-Defense. This is the Political Education Hour. These are the Truth Hours, day 427, the people versus the state. We discuss power in the hearts and minds of our beautiful black people. We talked about what power is and how it is livelihood, how it is being alive in the mind to produce the livelihood of the physical. We talked about how power demand is the force that demands and lays the demands for change, and how power is the ability to adapt to our social conditions. But if we are and have been made in many cases the powerless, although we hold the ability of an abundance of power that cannot be matched anywhere else in the galaxy, we find ourselves being made and been made the powerless due to coercion, due to force, due to manipulation, and all other types and sorts of wicked politics that have been used by this state and continue to be used to this state. Family, we must look at the influence of power. We must look at influence as power. We must understand how influence affects and what are the influences that move us into the conditions that we find ourselves into today. We must understand that and are being moved into this condition, it was not willfully. Therefore, as we address this topic, we must understand that we are not willingly in this position, then it makes no sense for us to agree with it. If history shows, and it has proven, that we are not willfully agreeing to this position, this condition, in this society, therefore, we should not agree to it. Therefore, we should not be so comfortable in conditions of modern day slavery. But we must understand influence and how influence relates to power. We learn that influence occurs when a person acts in compliance with the wishes or directions or suggestions of another. And this is where we find ourselves today, acting in the compliance of the suggestions of others and finding ourselves in positions because we are not willfully making these decisions. We have chains on our mind. And although we have heard many say that before, it remains true to this day. We have chains on our minds Those chains hinder us and interact with our very physical movement, the very muscles that move our bodies. We find ourselves stagnant. Many times, not all of us, but too many of us, standing still and not responding to the situations and conditions that surround our very physical being. We find ourselves this way because, again, influence occurs when a person acts in compliance with the wishes or directions or suggestions of another. Now, it is not just based on a whim of an influence or power. No. In fact, it is based on their sheer positive regard for love and admiration of the other, or based on a desire to please or serve the other because of the other's personal significance to him. We have to analyze this because we don't have a love and admiration, the ones of us who are wise, for our enemy, but some do. Some do. This is the God honest truth. And we find ourselves being more and more influenced every day through a wicked, decadent, devilish influence, through a propaganda system that is dead set on the destruction of the great wisdom of the African and the destruction of any positive, strong black man and black woman on the radio, television, social media, otherwise. We must understand influence and how influence is achieved. When the slave behavior, compliance, is attained without the influence of the state having to possess or use force, especially in the case when the slave complies with the wishes, suggestions, or commands of the other while engaging in no relevant, independent, or deliberate thinking, reasoning, or natural processes whatsoever. We find ourselves in these positions. We find ourselves willfully, unwillingly at first, in the beginning of this that we live in today, the Black Holocaust, the Ma'afa. But we find ourselves today and we see our people sadly and unfortunately more and more every day willing to go down this path of death and destruction. And we find ourselves in, again, unwillingly and forced into these conditions, forced into these positions. These are the positions and conditions that we examine and then give the solutions to so that we may develop our black nation. We are a mighty black people. We are a mighty black nation. And we say in the words of our great ancestors, rise, you mighty black nation. We can do what we will. But again, as we just review quickly, power is the ability to have will and to adapt that will to the changes around us. Then if we have such a mighty will, then we must reach into our hearts where power resides and find that power. And once we have found that power, we must take that power into our mental strategic planning so we're able to exercise that power throughout our physical being and change the conditions and situations we live in today. You are listening to New Black Panther Party Radio, of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is the people's broadcast. We love to hear from the people on this radio broadcast, the Truth Hours. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press number 1 to go live in tonight's broadcast. We opened up this broadcast with the great words of Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad and Dr. Amos Wilson as he talked about the behavior of our people, examining and analyzing the behavior of our people. We must continue to examine power. We must continue to examine how the different influences and the different aspects of power that we may not have been aware of, and that is the goal of this show every night. We must understand manipulation, family, and understand that we've been manipulated into many of these conditions, if not all of them. Understand the ways to remove ourselves from this manipulation, and the first step, the first goal is to develop a knowledge of self. We must do that. We must have that third knowledge of self, first from the home, second from this decadent, devilish American society, but third, it must come from you. It must come through and with a knowledge of self. That's right, fam. This is how we must operate. This is how we must think. We must look at manipulation and manipulation as it relates to power. And anybody feel free to jump in. Press the number 1. As before we close this broadcast tonight, we will continue the great, powerful wisdom that we were hearing from Dr. Amos Wilson. earlier on the behavior of our people. And I say to everybody listening on this line, you call in here and you don't hear us on this broadcast, but you hear our great ancestors. I'm going to tell y'all something. They said it better than any of us could have said. Take time to hear them too. Even if we heard it before, we should continue to hear it again and again and again and again, because that is the nature of the enemy's propaganda with a different influence. Again, is power, where we are sharing the words and wisdoms of the powerful, and they are sharing the words and wisdoms of the so-called powerful to induce a sense of powerless. So we are totally different. Our propaganda is totally different, family, brothers and sisters. Manipulation, then, involves the attempt by the manipulator to elicit certain desired responses from the slave while concealing their efforts to do so. This is what we see all the time in America, family. We learn from our great ancestor, Malcolm X, that there is no democracy here in this state. It is only a disguised hypocrisy. And we see this every day. We see this all the time, family. We see the constant manipulation of the physical being through physical violence. We see the constant manipulation of the mental aspect of our people and the mind frame and the mental aspirations of our people through psychic violence, a mental genocide, menticide. We're seeing an increasing form, increasing forms of manipulation. We have to understand manipulation is, in fact, the goal of the state to manipulate the power away from the hearts of the people. And again, this can only be done with, firstly, making the African what they want the African to be, and then using coercion, influence of state propaganda, influence of religious propaganda to ultimately manipulate the African into a position of slavery and to manipulate the African right up out of Africa. Yes, family. Much of what we know as the Atlantic slave trade came through with the manipulation and the coercion of certain deals that were supposed to be made, came through the manipulation and coercion of the enemy, the colonialists, the white man, the European, the caveman, going onto these sacred lands and coming in many times as some wise advisor. But what followed all the time afterwards was the slaughter, ethnic cleansing, and genocide of our people that continue to this day. Therefore, then, we must understand manipulation. We must understand how important it is to look at manipulation, because in this way of manipulation, it seeks to constrain, restrict, or prevent certain undesirable actions on the part of the slave, and to subtly direct the subject or the slave to behave in certain desired ways outside of our knowledge and awareness. Many times the things that we do, family, and again, we're talking about power in the hearts and minds of the people. Many times the things that we do, we are not even aware. We are not even all knowing of the fact that these are the things that the enemy would like for us to do. And in fact, in this socioeconomic criminal enterprise, everything that has been set up, from employment to food, from education to healthcare, is set up to give us choices that have been pre-approved, pre-chosen, multiple choice tests, right? Pre-approved by the state. We had no say. But again, they use manipulation to make you believe that you have a say through the vote. We must understand the serious nature of power. We must understand the serious nature of manipulation and how it is used to exercise the power that the state exercises on our poor, oppressed black people. As we continue to struggle and strive and demand a black nation of our own, as we live in the continuation and escalating battles of this black Holocaust, this mafia, the manipulation of black people, political and economic attitudes by the white ruling, is designed to effectively secure, enhance, and exercise power when not appearing to do so. And in that statement that I made, That may be true, and in many cases it is. But as this attack, these attacks and crimes against humanity continue against our people, our beautiful black people, what we are finding as we examine the escalation of this warfare is that they have no longer, they speaking of the state, the European, the white man, the colonialists, they have no more found it, they have no longer found it necessary to hide their hand in the power. It is all out anarchy. And we live in a day with a white man's pants around his ankles and they're telling on each other and it's all over the news. We live in an interesting day. We live in a day of the escalation of the war of the people versus the state, but we also live in the escalation and rise of a true black nation, black power family. And the point of this type of manipulation is to win the acceptance by black folks of the legitimacy of so-called white power, its moral integrity, its legitimate ideology, and the acceptance by us of their obligation to obey the directive of so-called white power while believing that our obedience is to be expressed and that this state has some free or moral wills, and they do not have any integrity. They do not have any ideologies that are even close to scientifically correct. They are all theories. They have stolen the great knowledges of the world and civilization that have turned them against the original people of civilization. This is the great manipulation. This family is the great phases of forcing power onto a people who have been, and although we are the most powerful, we have been made to believe, others around the world have been made to believe, our beautiful black children have been made to believe that we are powerless. So then we must understand everything that we have discussed tonight so far is key in understanding what power is. And I was reading from the Blueprint for Black Power, A Moral, Political, and Economic Imperative for the 21st Century by Dr. Amos Wilson. That is where I was getting such wise information and knowledge from. Many may thought I just came up with that on my own, but in fact, that's not the case. The source is the Blueprint for Black Power by Dr. Amos Wilson. We must use the wisdom and knowledge of our great ancestors to bring power back, and that's not gone, but to bring it out of the hearts and minds of our people here on New Black Panther Party Radio. We will always continue to keep the narrative the same. And as we continue this broadcast, we will for sure continue on that Dr. Amos Wilson clip of the personality of black people, because he gets into a lot of things that he talks about in this book, The Blueprint for Black Power. Make sure that we get that book as well. You tuned in now to New Black Panther Party Radio. Press the number one. If you have something to say, we've discussed so much from the great works of Dr. Amos Wilson, and we'll continue to do that. We want to let everybody know that you can still send financial resources to Brother Sharif. You know, we want people to understand the serious nature that we are living in. And that's why we prepare so diligently for these broadcasts with information so we can begin to reverse this mental genocide, and we can have ourselves acting in a way that we can respond to the conditions around us and have our own black nation. We have on the line with us right now our National Minister of Culture, Brother Greg out of New Jersey. Can you hear me, comrade? Black Power.
Black Power, I can hear you loud and clear, bro.
Yes, sir, Black Power.
Blueprint for Black Power, that should be a mandatory book for every curriculum. You know, we won't get it in the public schools, but for every curriculum of everyone who's homeschooling, who is, you know, in any type of, you know, program for us, that should be a mandatory book, bro. One of my favorite chapters in the book is where Dr. Wilson writes about a nation within a nation. And he goes into, you know, some great details using some statistics just showing just how other races monopolize so many different markets and they just control it. Number two, breaking down just the structure of how their focus is solely on them. Get examples of, you know, Chinese bringing other Chinese over having them work for a number of years, putting up the money to help them start a business. And one of the stipulations with that is for them to show some reciprocity and do the same thing for someone else, just building a nation within a nation, the Koreans, you know, who control, you know, the seafood market, especially over here on the East Coast. But he really breaks down the importance of why and give examples of how we need to focus on building a nation here within this nation. Because your points are right on the money, brother, with the manipulation. And it's so sad that so many of us are, you know, so many of our people are just fooled, you know, by the propaganda that's just thrown out there. And they'll fall for anything. But that book, bro, I'm so glad that you really pointed that out tonight. I can get the book at wholesale prices if anyone wants the book. I know it's a little steep, you know, retail price, but hey, I got access to getting it at a wholesale half price, basically, you know, for those who need the book, you know, for all of us, you know, everyone who needs the book, you know, basically. But another great show, bro. I hope a lot of people, even all of those that I've been reaching out to today specifically, hit that number one button. You know, chime in. You know, you guys get some great, not only, I don't even want to use the word information. You guys get educated at such a high level when you tune into this broadcast to hear Dr. Amos Wilson, to hear Khalid Muhammad, to hear all of the other greats who've of our ancestors. It's such a privilege and an honor. We need to sit back, take notes, be appreciative, and take advantage of the opportunity to push that number one button and not just sit back and just take all of this information. I mean, this is stuff that we need. This is what it boils down to. We have over, you know, 50-some-odd shootings, you know, right after this quote unquote, you know, conviction of this cop. You know, Newark here is still off the hook. We got the resources. We got the information that we need. We just need everyone who's sitting back, hit that number one button, participate. You know, go to the website. You know, the Black Cross. I mean, there's so many things, opportunities out there to participate in helping to build a nation within a nation and stop being fooled and bamboozled and manipulated by this government, you know, these so-called quote-unquote leaders who come out and give all of this bullshit, you know, Kamala Harris coming out saying this country is not racist. Come on. Come on, and so many damn people are just jumping and following and hooting and hollering just because of a female, you know, vice president. And then she can spit out some bullshit like that, and people still are so blinded and manipulated and falling for the crap. How the hell are you going to, you know, not see that this is a racist, you know, country? I mean, George Floyd died. Here's this damn cop being convicted. 50 more shots within a matter of days. Afterwards, and this is not a racist country? Come on, seriously. What other examples do you need of being manipulated and fooled and duped by this crap? Come on now, hit that number one button. I know so many people listen. Hit that number one button. Black power.
Black Power, Brother Greg, our National Minister of Culture, always. We know you got the hookup on the culture. He got the hookup on the books. Y'all know Brother Greg got the hookup on the books. He got the hookup on the great speakers, the books, the hookup in Newark. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do it here on the New Black Panther Party National Central Committee. Y'all better act like y'all know. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, everything that was read tonight, we give honor, we give praise to Brother Master Teacher Dr. Amos Wilson, because not only did he talk about it, but he was about it. You know, the brother built many great organizations and did many great things in our communities. I think we just look at him as an author and lecturer sometimes, and we don't really study the on-the-ground work that our great – that's why we call them warrior scholars. They're more than just scholars. They're willing, you know, to get onto the battlefield like Dr. Asa Hilliard. You know what I'm saying? All of the work that he did with restoring the African literature that had been robbed. It's been stolen from us. That's ours. We must protect the legacy of the African, not just the attire, the clothes, the music, but also our literature that have, you know, taught us so much. And like I said on a few shows ago, to be honest, the original ancient great teachings of the African civilizations were word of mouth. They were not even written down, just for fear of what has happened in the last few hundred years. The robbery of great teachings and great wisdom, the robbery of the things that power our children to becoming great African giants, have been robbed from us, flipped, turned, dipped all the way, turned back around, inside out, and fed back to us, regurgitated. It's not the same. It's already been digested. So when it comes back up, it's not the same. This is how we've been fed knowledge and wisdom. But we have reached a precipice. We've reached a tipping point. We've reached a new direction where we're having constant political education on this broadcast every night. It does not matter who it is. Somebody's going to be given the knowledge. And if it is not one of our great, great revolutionaries that we have in our midst today, it will be one of our great ancestors. And we also play many great teachers who are still with us, like Ashwa Kwesi and Michelle Alexander and Dr. Erykah Chambord. Like, y'all know we just can't stop. We just won't stop. You think that we'd be tired or fatigued? No. In fact, we're more energized every day because we understand how important it is that we have political education when we live in a time of escalated warfare. And I ask you, family, as militants and as studying warriors, what is one of the greatest tools of the enemy and could arguably be the greatest tool today in America? Propaganda. It is propaganda. They are pumping lies to the music, the TV, the radio, the Facebook, the YouTube, the Twitter, the Instagram. Everybody's lying. So, of course, people are going to look at you funny when you're telling the truth. Of course, you sound like a mad man, a mad woman when you talk about what mad people do. It happens that way, you know, when you talk about what is the wicked things that are going on. Yeah, it can come off a little bit like we have a chip on our shoulder. And we do, because we are old. And an amount of money that cannot be described in any European mathematical system, in the amount of land that equals the entire totality of the accumulation of square miles on this earth, they are in debt to us, and we are old. It is not the other way around. We do not owe our oppressor anything. We owe them something. We ain't going to go there right now. We owe them something. We ain't going to go there right now. Where we are going is into freedom and liberation. What we will say is that will be by any means necessary, regardless of the consequences, because we understand very clearly that it is better to fight than to live as a slave on a big plantation and criminal enterprise mafia corporation called America. It is better to live, fight, and if the time presents itself, to die in the fight and in the way of liberation. To live first, fight, and if it just comes down to it, die in the way of liberation, understanding that our work will live forever. Revolution is scientific. We learn from our great ancestor, the great Stokely Carmichael Kwame Ture, and we learn that revolution is scientific. He talks about the fact that when the oppressor have used every means of oppressing. And then he describes on the other end of the scale how the oppressed have used every means of trying to remove themselves from oppression. He then explains to us, we learn from Kwame Ture, that the oppressed will use the means that the oppressor have used to get back their freedom. And that is where we find ourselves today. All of this great technology, all these new weapons, all this new ammunition, all this new scientific, exploratory technology and all these inventions that have come up that are still coming from the great mind of the African. And somebody will even tell the liberator or the freedom fighter that we can't beat this white man? Come on, family. Come on. There are too many tools out here. We have too many solutions. It's not just one solution, family. And in fact, when you study the art of war, you'll find that Sun Tzu talks about that. He talks about how a great warrior doesn't just look at one aspect. He doesn't just look at the climate. He doesn't just look at the terrain. He doesn't just look at leadership. He doesn't just look at discipline, those factors of warfare and the art of war, but he or she takes all of them and uses them in such a balance. And then he talks about in the art of war, Sun Tzu, how a great warrior, a great combatant will win the war without ever sending the troop on the scene. These are the things that we must look toward for information. These are the different strategies and the different type of analysis that we should all be coming up with. Although we live in the same condition, and although we may have different ways of defeating and getting out of this condition, we must come to the same conclusion. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. Y'all going to have to agree. We are not free. If that is not the conclusion that you come up with after analyzing our 500 years being in this nation, of the 6,000 years that the enemy has been on this earth, we are sorry to tell you, ain't no coming back for you, brother. And maybe no coming back for you, sister. If at the end of all of that, you do not come to the same conclusion that we have came up with, the conclusion that have powered the hearts and fights and bodies of many freedom fighters throughout our battle for liberation and salvation of a black nation, if you do not come up with the conclusion that we are incapacitated in this nation, we have never been free in this nation, that we must make the demand for reparations, and that we must have our own nation. These are those who have the propensity, who have in them the ability, if led or forced by our enemy, or by the propaganda of our enemy, to become enemies, themselves, to their own. This is very serious, black people. This is very serious, brothers and sisters. Very serious, family. We must begin to think critically about the things that we discuss on this broadcast, think critically about the things that we see around us and respond critically. Respond quickly. Respond in an efficient manner and way, not reacting, but responding. Revolutionary. We cannot forget about the great biological threat that still surrounds us every day in the COVID-19. We've given a solution of the Paxlovid, not just one solution in the Paxlovid, but we've given many solutions, and one of them is the Paxlovid that you can still order from Dr. Arlene's website if you go to www.drarlene.com, drarlene.com, order a case of Paxlovid. Order the case of Paxlovid. These are marching orders for the members of the new Black Panther Party to order a case of Paxlovid. But we're saying to our family, our brothers and sisters who are not in the ranks, we love you and we want to see you live through this biological threat, through all the other threats we face, the same as we give solutions to the great warfare that is brought against our people every day. We've given many solutions to the COVID-19, and one of them has been the Paxlovid, the low-dose interferon alpha 2B that works along with the immune system to fight this coronavirus, this RNA virus, this retrovirus in the COVID-19 that was created by the same state who claims they don't know where it came from, or claims it came from China. China and America created the coronavirus. Stop lying to yourself. China and America created the coronavirus. The vaccine does not cure or treat any viruses, and no vaccine has ever cured or treated any viruses. Therefore, it does you no good to inject mercury, formaldehyde, and nanoscopic, smaller than a microscopic, little mechanical robots inside the vaccine. Let's get real, fam. Come on. We're not making this up. This is well-known, verified scientific fact. But again, who's controlling the narrative? We control the narrative up over here. We're talking about when we're away from New Black Panther Party Radio. When we're away from our comrades, many of us change. Yeah, we do. Don't hide now. Many of us change. You know, we not so black power then. We listening very closely to the white man and believing what he say. And many of us have already taken our vaccine shot after we had strongly advised through the scientific backing of the great work that we've done through our research and the great work of Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad and all his constituents and the great black doctors he works with out of the Abundant Life Center. We've talked about boosting our immune systems. We've talked about taking the herbal remedies and holistic remedies that are natural to the African way of living and how we must go back to that today. We talked about exercise, especially as the summer rolls around, there'd be plenty of sun to get that sweat out. The more you sweat, the more toxins come out, of course, and it's a great way to lose weight. In fact, the only way, the only healthy way to lose weight is to sweat. There's only healthy way. All these other ways just bring you more hurt than help. All of this, we must begin to understand the nature of self-defense and train in self-defense, hand-to-hand combat, boxing, kickboxing, karate, jiu-jitsu, judo, all that. You're going to need all that. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of wrestling, you know, a little bit of kickball so you know how to kick real hard. I don't know. But you need to learn to kick. You need to learn to punch. You need to learn to knee. You need to learn to elbow. You need to learn to do with somebody throw you on the ground, you need to know how to get back up. You throw somebody on the ground, you need to know what to do with them on the ground. We must arm ourselves. We're being harmed, hurt, murdered, killed, taken out, destroyed in many ways. We cannot continue to allow for this to happen. We must train ourselves and our children in self-defense. It are these things that we have been broadcasting for the last 426 days. We have lived our life by these days, and it is the standard principle in the nature of the new Black Panther Party since its founding in Dallas, Texas, 1989. You join with us here tonight on day 427 of this broadcast, New Black Panther Party Radio, of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad, we give a shout out to the New Black Panther Party National Central Committee, Black Power comrades, all of our comrades locally, regionally, all the local chapters, all of our representatives internationally, those who support us in this nation and all around the world, all of our beautiful, attentive listeners who listen to this broadcast through thick and thin. It means so much to us to do this broadcast every night. I know personally for me, it means the world to me to be able to do what it is that we love, that I love to do, which is to teach the true propaganda, the true nature. We put a lot of work into these broadcasts. We put a lot of work into our audio presentations. None of this comes just off of whim. It takes a lot of critical analysis on what message we want to bring, how we can control the narrative so that it best suits the times, and so we can better seize the time or whatever the day may present. We want to thank all of our listeners, all the supporters of the New Black Panther Party. We want to thank the donation that you have sent to Brother Sharif. If you have and if you have not, you can do that by sending a donation to the family, SHARIFAMENHOTEP, $Sharif Amin Hotep. Please, if you have the ability to do, please do send financial donations to our family as they are going to and are in need of financial support as we face this tragic, tragic taking of life that have produced the loss of life of a great young warrior cub and our young queen, Sanaa Imhotep. May her soul rest. May we continue to not and continue to wage counter warfare on our enemy and those who carry out the work of the enemy. We must be wise and get our youth when they're young to realize the value of our lives so that we do not have doers of the white man's work in our future. We just ask that someone stop us when we are lying, if we are lying. Call in here with a better, stronger teaching for the people and a better backbone that we can stand up as a body of a nation. Please let us know. We know that's not going to happen. So used to these weak, chump, so-called black leader teachers ain't teaching a damn thing. We are sharing the great wisdom that we do on this show every night to power ourselves, to show us how force must be used. Again, no power is in existence without it being forced into position. And we would not even be here if it was not for the force of the greatest power, the almighty wise God creator, that perfect balance, that great woman, that great man, that great feminine, that great masculine principle coming together to define what we now call life today. We thank everybody for joining us on this broadcast tonight. As I promised earlier, we will end this broadcast with the continuation of Dr. Emmons Wilson as he discusses and analyzes the personality of Black people. Appreciate everybody listening to this broadcast. Black Power Family, Freedom or Death.
Situation within, you know, when you start to become analytical in psychology and particularly how it applies to our people, you know, we have a brother that we always look to who has started off, we're looking at the developmental psychology of the Black child, and now has gone on to deal with
guys in a way to support the dominant system, and in this instance to support white domination. So it becomes very important that whatever we talk about it in context. Because the major ruse that is used in the academies is to decontextualize subject matter. That is to take subject matter out of context and to project it as race neutral and objective. So, as a matter of fact, when you read your newspapers, you will see the same kind of game going on. You will get discussions of black-on-black violence, the homicide among our young men, and you will get half-explanations or half-truths, such as these young men are killing each other because of the availability of guns. You know? Somehow it's just the mere availability of guns that's causing black-on-black homicide, or just the selling of drugs, or other half explanations. We have to watch out for that, because often the other half is the most important one, the one that is left out. How are the guns distributed? Who manufactures them? Who sells them and the whole bit? Who imports the drugs? Who distributes the drugs? Or it's the cause of poverty. Crime is caused by poverty, caused by poor family background. We get a whole plethora of these kind of half-truth definitions. These guns are made available within a social political context. Drugs are made available within a social political context. Families are broken apart within a social political context. Poverty is created within a social political context. Poor education is the result of a social political context, ladies and gentlemen. And we must constantly then look at that context and see how it creates the conditions of which we complain so much. We must then recognize as we begin to look at black upon black violence, we must see that violence and its connections to a racist society. And we must come to understand what a racist society is about. We use that term so often without analyzing it very well. And we must recognize essentially then that a racist society is about structuring social and political, economic circumstances, psychological and cultural circumstances, such that one race can take advantage of another, and one race can enhance itself at the expense of another. It has little to do with overt race hatred, or with negative racial attitudes, or with the projection of racial stereotypes. Or as Brother Harris says, with whites not understanding the nature of their racism. That's not it. And when you define it in terms of attitude, you'll find yourself then solving the wrong problems. These people will stop expressing those negative attitudes, you see. They will smile more regularly at you. They will even marry you and go to bed with you, sleep with you. But you will note that the effects of racism, the effects of poverty and all of these other things will continue. But not only do they continue, they increase. Ultimately, you must recognize that racism involves the power of one race to impose its will upon another. That ultimately then it is about power. And we have to face that fact. Whites engage in racism because they have the power to do so. And if we are to end white racism, then we must end white power. We use the word imperialistic society and imperialism often, also without looking at it very deeply and looking at the term very deeply. Imperialism of empire. Speaking then of a group of people who through various means have acquired and maintained an empire, who maintain and exploit control over populations much larger than themselves. We heard a reference here tonight about this population being 5%, the white population here, of the world, and about the total European population being about 10%, yet in control of 80% of the world's economic resources and in control of the other 90% of the world's populations. You're talking about empire then, ladies and gentlemen. And what does that imply? That means then you have a small population that is ruling over populations that are much, much, much larger than it is. And of course, we don't have time to talk about the psychology of this, but I've often indicated that this can only be possible when that small population maintains the larger populations in a state of false consciousness and in a state of deception. That this small population can only maintain control over those larger populations by outright lying and the falsification of reality. But recognize, in essence then, in terms of the problems we are talking about here this evening, the Colin Powells, the black soldiers in the armies, you have to recognize that the essential nature of imperialism is that due to the fact that the imperialist group or nation that runs the empire is so small compared to the empire, it must of necessity recruit from the very population it rules in order to control that empire. When you study the history of imperialism, particularly the history of imperialism as regards African people, which has been going on now for over 2,000 years, when you look at the history of imperialism and colonialism on the African continent, and you study Chancellor Williams' books, and you look at the history of imperialism in Africa, you cannot help but recognize that non-European imperialism and European imperialism has been aided by Africans who were recruited into the armies of the imperialistic masters and were used to practice black upon black violence against their African brothers in the name of their European masters. So then when I talk about black upon black violence in this book, or we talk about the young men and women in the U.S. Army today, recognize then that we are talking about nothing new, but something that is continuous with the very essence and nature of imperialism and racism. Recognize also that when we talk about black-on-black violence, we are talking about a violence that violence produced. That black-upon-black violence is reflective of white-on-black violence. And that ultimately, it reflects the violence that this Eurocentric and European community has practiced upon black people and our reactions to that violence. When we then talk about a racist society, an imperialistic society, recognize then that we are talking about a crimogenic society. What do we mean by crimogenic society? Of course, racism is a crime against humanity and a crime against our race. Imperialism is a crime against our race as well. And therefore, when you have a racist society and an imperialistic society, you have a crimogenic society. What do we mean then by a crimogenic society? Of course, dealing with the word Genesis, we are talking about the idea of generating the beginning, as in the word Genesis, to begin, the source of, the point of creation of. So when we talk about this society as a crimogenic society, we are talking about this society then as the source of crimes, as the generator of criminality, as the creator of criminals, a society that is run by criminals, and a society then that ultimately criminalizes its population and criminalizes the total system. I had a piece here, you know, there's some of you here who are middle class and you think you're nice. You think you're non-criminal. A criminal society criminalizes all of its constituents. I don't have time tonight to read to you the justification for that piece. Oh, there's some of you who've been in the church and you think you're good. Read in Black on Black Violence where I talk about your dumb goodness. A goodness that maintains sin and criminality. We don't have time to talk about it tonight. You're in the church, but you're guilty too. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, when the leadership of a nation lies to that nation, when it deceives that nation, when it miseducates that nation and falsifies facts, it falsifies the consciousness of the people who inhabit that nation. And when it falsifies their consciousness, it recruits those of its people into its criminality. So whether you know it or don't know it, you're a part of the game. Oh, yes. We have to confront our responsibility for this criminal situation as well. Yes, we do. Whether you're looking at us as so-called middle class, remember those of you who are making it in this society, who are making great profits, great accomplishments, sitting at the same tables with your white masters. That you're sitting and profiting from the death and murder and destruction of your ancestors. That as you eat with your white masters, you are eating the flesh and spirits of your people. You can cover it up and lie to yourself and claim it's your individual striving that got you where you're going. That you are taking advantage of opportunities. But remember, these opportunities were based on the death and destruction of African people and the continuing death and destruction of African people. Those of you rolling around in the church and carrying on in the same position as well. But let me continue. This society is a society of criminals, run by criminals, and it is a creator of criminals. We must recognize it. And I have to say that because we got some people out here who say, I want my children to be just like them. That's the ultimate goal. I don't want there to be any differences. What are you talking about? You want them to be enslavers, rapists, and robbers, and killers, and murderers, and imperialists, and so forth, just like the other folk, right? Think again, ladies and gentlemen. But due to our time, I'm just going to have to rush through here. I accuse the society of being a crimogenic society, a criminal society, a society that engages in white on black violence for a number of reasons. And of course, as you can tell, often the psychology of an individual or people in terms of their origins and early childhood experiences, you can look at then the psychology of a people in terms of their origins and early childhood of their race. And when we look then at the origins of this society, we must immediately recognize that it is a society founded on criminal activities. Yes, and that is its inheritance today. It is still a part of it. A society that is a crimogenic society and a society that engages on white, on black violence, because it is founded on the murder and theft of Indian peoples and Indian lands. It is a crimogenic society, a criminal society, and a society that practices white on black violence because it is a society founded on the kidnapping of African people, the manslaughter of African people in the mid-passage, the extortion from African people of their labor, and the enslavement of African people. Therefore, the very nature and foundations of this society rest on two massive genocidal crimes, and this original crime is a part of its nature today. It is a crimogenic society, because this group of people cannot face their own criminality. They must engage in the psychology of denial and repression and distortion. And this denial and distortion and repression must suffuse throughout the total society, throughout its total institutions, throughout its total values, and therefore ultimately it must pervert its total population. It is a criminal society and a white-on-black violent society because it engages in the crime of breach of contract. It has breached the contract of its constitution. It breached the contract it made with African people during the Reconstructions. It breached its contract of the 14th, 15th, and other amendments.